It's the third Sunday of February. It's the third sermon on love. You got to put up with one more of them. February is kind of the love month, so I just wanted to focus on love this month as we walk through these things, because love is not always easy. Loving some people seems to come naturally. We even use a phrase, they are easy to love. The reason we use that phrase is because they both receive and give love the way we understand receiving and giving love. So they're easy to love. Then there's other people that we say, they're hard to love. And really all that means is that they don't receive and give love the way I receive and give love. So it is hard really for me, not necessarily for them. And at times we need what seems to be supernatural love. The most difficult aspect of love in the New Testament for me is that I am commanded to love. Living under the law, a set of rules, do's and don'ts, a list of what's right and what's wrong, has some benefits for me. I like boundaries. I like borders. I like knowing things. Okay? So law works really, really well for me because I'm either in or I'm out. I either do or I don't. I like law. The difficulty is even though I may understand the laws, the rules, and the commands, living under law leaves me feeling guilty more than it leaves me feeling good, because I do see myself as messing up. I do see myself as not keeping the do's and doing the don'ts, and therefore I get all messed up. As a disciple of Jesus, I live under what he calls a new law, a new commandment, a new way of looking at life and living life. And I will tell you that living the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is far more difficult for me than the concept of the Mosaic law. Because living the law of the Spirit of life in Christ requires of me total 100% surrender in every area of my life. If I'm living under grace, grace compels me, it draws me close to the very nature of God, which is not my nature, my human nature. And he asks of me that I would love him with my heart, soul, mind, strength. He wants all of me. For most people, love is based in emotion, feelings, and reciprocal relationship. It is difficult, if not impossible, to command a feeling. To say, I want you to feel this way. I maybe can conjure up something, but I don't know. Feeling comes from within me. It either is or it isn't. So this commandment to love, when I so often want easy love, as in love that is reciprocal, love that is based upon emotion, love that is based upon this tingling of the tummy, so to speak, that becomes difficult. So I want us to take a look at why love is a mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want us to take a look at two passages. I'm really going to spend more time in the second passage, but I want to start in Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, I'm actually going to begin back in verse 27. Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to begin in verse 27. This is a Sermon on the Mount, if you're familiar with that section. Matthew records it. Luke, I'm going to read Luke's section of it. And in the Sermon on the Mount that we get, here's what Jesus says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish others would do to you, do so to them. We're going to keep reading, but I'm going to stop for a second. Jesus throws down the gauntlet of love. So loving, we've walked through 1 Corinthians 13 the last 2 weeks. Love in action, in this particular case, is loving your enemies. Why is this a mark of a disciple? Because I will tell you, an unbeliever doesn't care about their enemies. They are, by definition, their enemies. So they're not going to. In fact, they would probably like ill will to come to them because they are their enemies. Jesus is going to come in and say, here's what love does. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that for you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same thing, same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The commandment to love is based upon the very nature of who God is. He is merciful. He is kind. He is loving. Not just to those who love Him, but to the evil, my translation says. And then Jesus' statement or reiteration in this section that Luke gives for us is you need to have that same attitude and action in your life. There are lots of commands, even in the New Testament. And I struggle through my fair share of them. But the command to love is not easy for me. And I think I'm a pretty nice guy, generally speaking. Okay? And Carrie and I have been married for over 30 years. They're over 33 years. And she has walked with me during that timeline. And she has had to help me because there are some people, some brothers or sisters in Christ that I have had such a confrontation with that loving that person, I'm telling you, it takes everything out of me just to shake their hand, smile, and say, how you doing today? When I really want to say, I can't stand you. I hate what you said about my kids. I hate the way you treated me. I hate the way you think about me. I don't like how you view my life and my actions. I want to go off on that person. And then I read something like this. Jesus says, love them, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. Love cannot be based in emotion, feeling, and what is reciprocal. If it is, it will never be able to do this. This type of love is truly outside of our natural desires, supernatural. Okay? I have to take on God's love in order for me to love my enemy. Now, the passage I want us to dig into is found in John chapter 13. This is teaching the 11. Chapter 13 is the 12, but this is the night that Judas would betray Jesus. In just a few hours, he's going to be in the garden, and just a few hours after that, he's going to be standing before the high priest, and just a few hours after that, he's going to be before Pilate, and a few hours after that, he's going to be hanging on a cross. And Jesus knows it all. He knows everything that is going to happen to him in the next 24 hours. But that night, when they get together, John says he washes his disciples' feet. We come to verse 34. Judas has already left to go to do his thing. Jesus is with the 12. We come to verse 34. I'm going to just read one verse to begin with. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another. Jesus tells them this is a new commandment. Loving is nothing new. God taught his people, the Jewish nation, for 2,000 years to love. Even during the ministry of Jesus, the greatest command was summed up twice. Once by Jesus. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second greatest command is also summed up by Jesus. Love your neighbor, how? As yourself. So the Jewish mindset of how to love you is based on how I love me. Okay? And I will be honest, that's a super high calling. Okay? I really like me. Oh, there's times I dislike things about me, but I rarely ever mistreat me. If I am hungry, I eat something. If I am thirsty, I'll go get something to drink. If I'm bored, I will find something to do. Okay? Because the world evolves around me. And that's where my head is too often. So when this teaching of love your neighbor as yourself, that's a pretty high teaching. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. I'm going to change the standard. It is not as you love yourself. The new standard is as I have loved you. And that is a game changer. It's hard enough to be nice to my enemies. Love my enemies? It's difficult to love my neighbor as myself. Now the commandment is, I want you to love as I have loved you. My love is now the standard. Not yourself. Which means I now have to view every single person through the lens of how does Jesus love that individual. Because the calling is for me to love them as he loves them. Not as I want to be loved, not as I want to love them. Not as I feel, not as I receive, as I have loved you. Most of the time, this type of love, loving others, is very difficult. I want you to think about the 11. Let's just stick with the 11 for a moment. Jesus is in that upper room with them. They've done what we call the Lord's Supper. Jesus has washed their feet at the very beginning of the evening. Judas has left. The supper is done. Jesus is spending some one-on-11 time with them. Think about that group of people. That group of people includes people who have very strong religious convictions. They see their religious life, the rules of Judaism, very clearly. And I think about people like the top four, Andrew, James, and John. You know, they're the first wonderful men. We've been studying about them on Wednesday night. They have a great depth of love for God. They've been disciples of John the Baptist. They're now been disciples of Jesus for a few years now. They're a pretty good group. They've known each other pretty well for a long period of time, even before Jesus brought them all together. There were other people in that group, though, that, one of them has kind of, I don't want to say a weird name. His name is Philip. And you may think, well, who really cares? Philip is a very Greek name, not a Hebrew name. My guess is he might have been a little bit of a, not an odd duck, but someone who was raised a little differently because his parents gave him a name that outsiders would have somehow been attracted to him. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. Some group of people came and first wanted, they wanted to see Jesus, but they went to Philip first. So you've got people like Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You've got people like Philip. And I'm not trying to make any straight connection. Then you have people who have some nicknames or some descriptions. We've got one disciple whose name is Simon that is called the Zealot. Now, a zealot in this particular sense is a very Israel national zealot. Patriotism to the extreme. Okay? To the extreme. So much so that he would love to see the Roman government overthrown. The zealots of Jesus' day and age were some pretty tough people. And not always the best of people. But one of those is this guy who's a zealot. Throw in that mix, we use the term Matthew, his name that we utilize. His given name, Levi. His profession was collecting taxes for the Roman government. So here's my point. You have got a group of 11 people couldn't be more different if you tried. You've got strongly religious people. You've got nationally zealous people. You've got people who maybe have a little bit more of a connection to kind of the Greek or Roman world. And then you've got Matthew, who doesn't fit anybody's paradigm. And Jesus says to them, here's the commandment. I want you to love each other the way I've loved you. You've got to get beyond. You've got to get beyond Simon's political bent. You've got to move beyond it. You've got to get beyond Philip's name. You've got to get beyond Matthew was a tax collector. You've got to get beyond thinking the Jewish law is God's only way to heaven, because now it's going to be me. And so I'm going to take you 11 and I'm going to leave you in charge of changing the entire world. That's your job. Go out and teach me. And it starts by learning to love each other. I love the church family. And we talk about the church family as a whole. But I think Jesus is dealing with each other as individuals. I've got to get beyond any disagreement I have with you over religion, politics, names, viewpoints, jobs. I either love you like Jesus loved you, or I don't love you like Jesus loved you. I gotta love you. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. They argued over who was the greatest because they saw themselves more valuable than the others. That's what greatest means. And Jesus turns that upside down. Says, go be the servant. This type of love is supernatural. To love like Jesus loved. Why is that so important? One more verse, verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because I sure don't want to see somebody not raise their hand. I'm hoping everybody in here wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I hope every single hand would have gone up if I asked you to do that. Okay? But here's the question to you. I'm under the assumption you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here is a mark of what that means. Do you love each other the way Jesus loves you? Because if you do, the world is going to see that. And they're going to say, that church, that group of people, those people that meet in that building, their love draws me. The way they look at one another, the way they step up and help one another, the way they laugh together, the way they enjoy company together, the way they fellowship in each other's homes, the way they know each other's family, the way they're growing up, become best friends. I want that. Because the world doesn't give you that. The world will give you love if you love them back. The world will give you love if you meet their standard of what it deserves in order to be loved. The world will give you love if you do fill in the blank, have the right political party, the right way of action, the right color of skin, whatever you want to put it in there, then the world will love you. Jesus says, you want to change the world? You start by just loving the people who you are already family with. The world is drawn to love. I do not believe the world is drawn to rules. I'm not even convinced the world is drawn to doctrine, even right doctrine. I don't think they say, oh wow, I really want to go and study doctrine today. I want to parse that Greek word and figure out whether or not this type of love was this word or this word. I don't think they give a flying leap. I think they want to be loved. I think they want to be valued. I think they deal enough with their own self-esteem, hidden behind whatever they put out there. But when they find people that just genuinely care, they say, that's what I want. Do they learn doctrine? Absolutely. Do they learn how to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to mature, to put off some things and put on other things? Absolutely. But what draws them? I don't think it's a big party. I don't think it's a fancy worship service. I think it's when they see people who love each other so much. They so want that love that it draws them. The world will know. All people will know you are my disciples. I was told this past week, one of the most difficult things to surrender is my rights. Our culture is very mindful of our human rights and individual rights. But if I love you the way Jesus loved you, then I will give up some things that I have the right to do or not do in order to be in relationship with you. Because you are more valuable than my rights. And that is a cultural shift. So the world does not understand this type of love. But they are drawn to it. And there is a command. A new command. Love one another. That's the command. But the newness is changing the bar. Not as you love yourself, but as Christ has loved you. Love one another. And the world will see that love. So what's your love life like? Yeah, we all want the right feelings and the right emotions and the right reciprocal things. I get that. We do. But when I value you so much that you become my brother or my sister, you become my family. You become the person I want to call when something's really good going on in my life, and I just want to share the good news with you. You become the person I call when things are tough in my life, and I just need to cry on somebody's shoulder. I call my family. I turn to you. Love changes everything. Let's learn to love like Christ. And if we can help you to do that, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?